All of us have been in predicaments when twisting the truth is far more convenient than telling the truth. Your spouse asks you how she looks in a new dress, a dress you find highly unflattering. Or your boss asks you for an update on a project you completely forgot to do. If it doesn't harm anyone, isn't telling a little white lie the best solution? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll challenges us to face our faulty thinking about honesty, making integrity the highest priority. He titled today's message, Stop Lying and Start Acknowledging.
The one who wrote most of the New Testament is a man named Paul. He wrote letters mainly, and you will find his letter to the Ephesians by that name tucked away in the group of these letters he wrote. Locate Ephesians and find chapter 4. I'll be reading for you from the core section of that fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 21 down through 29. Ephesians 4, 21 begins, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them."
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Stop Lying and Start Acknowledging.
Reality is a pill too large for many to swallow. We live in a day of a fantasy and imagination. The entertainment world is filled with it. Therefore, our minds become filled with things as we fantasize them rather than the real hard facts of things like bad habits and areas of our lives that need to be addressed. The series I am involved in is reality on parade, if you will. There's no fantasy here. We're talking about procrastinating and blaming others and worrying and living a life that lacks vulnerability as we try to put on an act of perfection, all of which is a waste of time, ours and others. These habits are like being addicted to a drug or to alcohol. And if it goes on long enough, we begin to think of them as the norm. And so we shrug them off. And we no longer address them, but we excuse them. Or we ignore them altogether, or to make matters worse, we justify them by saying everybody's doing it. So what's the big deal? The big deal is they are wrong, and they need to be stopped. That's the big deal. Which brings me to the very convicting subject of lying. Might as well start things off with a bang here and say, I'm going to make you aware of some things that will shock you. Some of this information I did not know before I began to research this area in our lives. And of special help was a book titled The Day America Told the Truth. The Day America Told the Truth by James Patterson and Peter Kim. They wrote it back a number of years ago. It was the result of an extensive national survey that had never been taken before. Extensive because it included 1,800 questions in the questionnaire, which as many as 2,000 people were willing to complete because they were promised anonymity. They were safe. They could tell the truth about things they had been denying or keeping secret or lying about. Anonymity guaranteed them the freedom to speak openly. It was a survey that reached all ages and stages, men and women, young and old, married and single, parents and those who never have had children, all economic backgrounds. To quote from their words, one of the interesting results of the survey is that no one really knows what you really think or believe in. Not one person, nor do you know what anyone else really believes. Chances are you don't know what is in the heart of another single person, not even those closest to you. For one day, as they put their survey together, we found a way to get thousands of Americans to tell the truth about what they really believe. The fourth chapter is among the most convicting. It's titled simply, American Liars. The opening words of the chapter, Americans lie. They lie more than we had ever thought possible before the study. But they told us the truth about how much they lie because their answers were kept anonymous. In bold caps, heavy font, 91% of us lie regularly. The majority find it hard to get through a week without lying. 1 in 5 cannot make it through a single day without lying. The way some people talk about doing without lies, you'd think they were smokers trying to get through a day without a cigarette. We lie to just about everyone. Of course, there are white lies and trivial fibs and lies we tell to spare someone's feelings. And then there are serious falsehoods. They fall into 4 categories, according to Patterson and Kim. Lies that hurt other people. Lies that violate a trust. Lies that involve crime or legal consequences. Lies that are totally self-serving about who and what we are, in which we mask the real truth. They continue, almost everyone lies, some more than others. Here's what they discovered. Men lie more than women. Young men lie more than older men. Catholics lie a bit more than Protestants, and both of them lie more than Jews. The unemployed lie more than those with jobs. The poor lie more than the rich. Liberals lie more than conservatives. Who tells the most serious lies? 50% of those ages 18 to 24 are liars. 34% of those ages 25 to 34. 29% of those ages 45 to 64, 19% of those ages 65 and older. The older we get, the less we lie, they found out. Those 65 and older lie less than half as much as those who were less than half their age. But the reality is, hard as it is to hear it and believe it, ours is a nation of liars. It starts at the top with our president. It rolls down through Congress, other politicians along the way, including most citizens who fill our ranks. I read one wag who said the only way you could tell a politician is lying, his mouth is moving and sound is coming out of his throat. Now, right about now, some of you are starting to feel very comfortable, maybe a little smug, because after all, you're a Christian. You're different. Not too fast. It brings me to another book you need to read. It is a book titled Keeping Your Ethical Edge Sharp. Remember that title. It's by Doug Sherman and the late Howie Hendricks' son, William Hendricks. These two men, strong Christians, put out a survey, not quite as extensive as the other I mentioned, but limited to Christians or those who claim to be such. And they came to the conclusion, and I quote, "The general ethical conduct of Christians varies only slightly from non-Christians." These two authors discovered that Christians are just as likely as non-Christians to falsify income tax returns, commit plagiarism, bribe to obtain a building permit, shift blame onto someone else, illegally copy a computer program, and steal from the workplace. Not even attending seminary breaks those habits. The first thing I noticed when I came back to Dallas Seminary as its president back in 1994 were the cameras that were in the bookstore. Shocked, I asked the bookstore manager why there are cameras in the seminary bookstore, and his answer was a blunt, because some students steal. Equally shocking was to discover what they steal the most. Bibles. They put their old Bible in the box, and they take out the new Bible and carry it with them out of the store, which led to a series of messages from that chapel that the school is still talking about. But I didn't say enough, nor can I say enough today, to make anyone break a habit, especially the habit of lying. Some of you have done it so long, you no longer even think of it as lying. It has become for you a way of life. For the sake of accuracy, and to keep you from feeling as though I have my finger in your sternum, pointing just to you, some of you are exceptions, and I commend you. You have wrestled through the issues, and you have come to realize that kind of life is not a life worth living. It results in ultimate embarrassment when the truth is found out, and the heartbreak of our own family when we are left lying in the dust, and they're able to discover truth once we're gone, as the skeletons rattle out of the closet. Now that I have everyone's attention, and I mean that not to be manipulative, but to really grab your attention, I urge you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. I urge you also to not stop concentrating. Your silence reveals you're really listening. I commend you. Don't stop listening. What I have to say will help you, if not you, someone near you, one of your children, maybe one of your parents, a relative, a close friend, who knows, someone you may work with or work for. Now, I would like you to look at verse 25 of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I want you to be ready to write some things down, so I've given you an outline that you can follow. I want to address first the public in general and then believers in particular. And I realize more of you are believers than not. And so I address my words especially to believers, but not only. This command that appears at the beginning of verse 25 is what I would call a bold, unvarnished command. So stop telling lies. It deserves an exclamation point. Ta pseudos is the Greek for the lies. We get our word pseudo from pseudos. It has in mind that which is a falsehood. Stop telling them. Now, the keen observer who reads his or her Bible will notice right away this command follows a context. You know that because of the first word in the New Living Translation of verse 25, so. When you see the word so, you know it is coming to a bit of a summary, a wrap-up, or bringing something to a conclusion or a climax. I think the context goes at least back to verse 21 as I study the passage. Verse 21 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, stop, that means it's addressed to believers. We are the ones who have learned about Jesus. We have heard about him. We've trusted in him. We now rely on his truth as his foundation for our life, our conduct, our attitude, our response, our decisions. We are believers who have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him. Now notice, throw off your old sinful nature. Your Bible may read lay aside. That's a little weak. Throw it off. I speak now to men because I am one and I understand men. We all have favorite garments we would like to wear forever. If you're married, you're not allowed to do that forever. After a while, your wonderful t-shirt that admittedly has holes under the arms, the neck is torn, has a certain odor to it that is very comforting for you. But before you know it, it is thrown off and into the trash. Or maybe an old cap that needed its oil changed 4 years ago, but there's something about the feel that's like no other cap, and you love it. Or an old pair of sneakers, talk about smelling. And you have them, and you wear them. It's that idea, except it's not clothing. This says, throw off your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and, notice, deception. This is the context of stop telling lies. The former way of life is the way you lived before Christ. Dump it. Throw it away. Get rid of it. It stinks. It's offensive. It grieves the heart of God. It's wrong. So get rid of it. Please observe that a clean and holy life is not automatic once you come to Christ. You and I step in and are responsible to carry out this matter of personal holiness. You don't suddenly stop telling dirty jokes. You train yourself to stop telling dirty jokes or speaking with foul language. You train yourself to start thinking thoughts that are purer than you used to think. You're thrown aside the old way of life. That's what he's saying. Now notice the positive, verse 24. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. He was not there when you were lost. Now that he's residing within and will never leave, he is there to prompt you. He brings convictions when you say or do what is wrong. However, you can so harden your heart that you silence his voice. And after a while, he must discipline you for doing that. Or he must confront you with wrong that you have made a habit of carrying out. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And with that renewed mind that frees you from the bondage of an old nature, stop telling lies. But most of you haven't. It's an old habit. And it has come in handy so long that we turn to it regularly. And it no longer embarrasses us. We'll even, if we're not careful, laugh it off. Everybody does it. You want it to be that careful with every single word. Nobody's that tedious. Throw off your old, former way of life. Sounds pretty serious to me. As a result of spending the time in preparation for this message, I want you to know that God has really begun to do a work in my own heart. I want for the rest of my life to be known as a man who does tell the truth, by my words and by my silence. I want to be a person you can rely on to never lie to you. It isn't easy because I make my living on my feet, speaking. I am forever teaching, forever communicating. And for that reason, James 3 says, I will be judged by a higher level of judgment than those who don't. So don't clamor for the teaching office, is his statement there. Now, with all of that in mind, I'm going to give you a statement I want you to write down. Take out your pen. If you're serious about this, take out a pencil or a pen, get a hold of the outline, or maybe write in the margin of your Bible alongside these words, stop telling lies, and write this statement down. It isn't an original with me. It comes from William Barclay in his work on Ephesians chapter 4. Dr. Barclay writes this statement. Telling the truth demands a deliberate effort, period. Telling the truth demands a deliberate effort. In case you wonder, you never grow out of it. You grow into it. That is, you're lying. As you grow into it, it becomes a regular part of your life. Becoming the CEO of a company won't keep you from lying. Becoming a member of Congress won't keep you from lying. Becoming a vice president or president of our country won't keep you from lying. If you have made a habit of lying, you will keep lying regardless of the position you hold. Becoming a pastor will not suddenly make you altogether honest. You'll exaggerate. You'll lie. You'll say things that simply are not true. Telling the truth demands a deliberate effort. I'll give you an example from my own life. I stand down front to meet with people following the worship service. And not infrequently, people will bring me something that they have written that they want me to read and evaluate and give them an appraisal, my opinion, of what they have written. Years ago, I would take it and thank them and say, sure, I'll do that, knowing in my mind I will never, ever get to that. I'm too busy. I've got too many of my own things to read. My own study limits the time I have for such. Now I don't do that. Now I say, first of all, I'm impressed with the fact that you have finished what you began to write, and I commend you. I'm sure it's good work. I don't have the time to give to what you want me to read and evaluate, so no, please don't give it to me. Telling the truth demands a deliberate effort, and you have to go to it yourself, especially if you can't get through a week without a lie, or you've made a habit of exaggerating, or you tell people what they want to hear so they'll like you better. You know what I've learned? That's not necessarily true. I find people's respect for you grows when they count on you to tell them the truth.
Perhaps the takeaway lesson from today's message from Chuck Swindoll is that telling the truth requires intentional effort. As flawed human beings, we don't naturally lean toward truth-telling. You're listening to Insight for Living. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Having heard today's convicting message from Chuck, it's possible you're prepared to take your next steps in cultivating honesty. When you visit our webpage, you'll notice that we're featuring a helpful book he's written. It's called Quest for Character: Inspirational Thoughts on Becoming More Like Christ. In addition to addressing personal virtues like honesty, Chuck addresses a wide variety of relevant topics, and all of them flow from his study in God's Word. The book called Quest for Character is written in a refreshing and engaging style, just as you'd expect from Chuck. And all the details for purchasing a copy are found at insight.org/offer. You often hear me say that Insight for Living is made possible not through the purchase of resources, but through the voluntary contributions of our monthly companions and all those who give one-time donations. Well, right now, we're making a concerted effort to add more monthly companions to our team, because nothing will accelerate the mission of Insight for Living more effectively than counting on the predictable, steady income from monthly companions. Plus, as a monthly companion, your consistent giving is channeled directly into providing this daily program and the many other resources we provide. In that way, God is using you to spread a fragrance of His grace to all who come our way. If you're listening in the United States, here's the phone number to call, 1-800-772-8888. Or sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Or to give a one-time donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. Join us again when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about speaking the truth, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Lying and Start Acknowledging, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.